Sister Starin here from the Middle East, and predominantly from Lebanon, and we're going to have them come. They're going to give us a presentation for those of you that weren't here this morning, and then he's going to preach to us. So God bless you, brother.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I would like for us to stand for the reading of our opening scriptures. My sermon this evening is called Convictions and Courage. We'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 11, from verses 35 to 38. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scornings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. I will read that part again. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Let us pray. My Lord, you are the mighty God, my Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the testimony of men and women that have gone before us. They withstood torture. They withstood persecution, my Lord. Because, my Lord, when we have you in our life, my Lord, our eyes are upon you and our eyes are upon heaven, my Lord. We come to you tonight, O Lord. You are the Lord God Almighty. And as we sung tonight, there are no equals unto you. There is no equal unto you, O Lord. You are the Lord God Almighty, and our attention is upon you, not only today, but for eternity. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. Some of you were not here this morning, so I'll introduce myself. My wife is here. We are missionaries to the country of Lebanon. We have been 34 years in the Middle East. When we go back to Lebanon in January, it'll enter our 35th year in missions. Some people consider that a long time. I consider that a very, very long time, actually. I think I was, like when I started, I was 4 years old and my wife was minus 3 years old when we started missions. And during our time in the Middle East, we have seen many things. My first trip to Lebanon was in 1977. I was not married then. I traveled throughout. I stayed with different relatives. I only have about a million relatives there. My mother's parents came from the country of Lebanon, and I went from village to village visiting my relatives. And as a single man, it was very, very dangerous because I had all my relatives wanting to fix me up with their daughters and cousins and nieces. So it was dangerous for me as a single man. It was so much better as a married man going there. But in our time there, we have seen many things. We have gone through many things, but we are still standing. When we look at these scriptures that we read tonight, we read about people that were willing to die for their convictions. They were willing to die. Tradition tells us that the wicked king Manasseh caused the prophet Isaiah to be put to death by putting him in a hollow log and sawing him in half. Jeremiah was persecuted because he preached against idolatry and against the sins of the land. So they put him in a dungeon, and he sunk into the mud, where the mud came up to his neck. Other prophets were killed for simply preaching the word of God, simply for standing on the word of God and not moving in their conviction. We know what happened to John the Baptist. He was, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us he was the greatest of all of the prophets of the Old Testament. And he was beheaded because he preached against sin. And it did not matter who stood before him. If it was a farmer, if it was a soldier, or if it was the king, he was going to preach the same message wherever he stood and whoever stood before him. And this caused him to lose his life. But the world was not worthy of these people. When we think about these people, we hold them up. These people are our heroes. But to the world around them, they were people to be mocked. They were people to be ridiculed. They were people to be laughed at. But the scriptures tell us the world is not worthy of these people. People who stand on truth and righteousness. The world is not worthy. We may be mocked today, but I'll tell you something. Someday we're going up. And I'll tell you something. The world is not worthy. It tells us that a measure of spiritual growth is measured by our conviction. The dictionary defines conviction as a fixed or strong belief. Conviction really is much more than that. Your convictions include your values. It includes your commitment and the way we act. It is said that a belief is something that we will argue about, but a conviction is something we will die for. Are we willing to die for our convictions? Are we willing to stand on our convictions so much that we will be willing to forfeit our life if it has to be? Our conviction determines all of our conduct, our motivation, and what we do and what we do not do. I wonder, how are we formed? A person without conviction is somebody that is at the mercy of everyone that is around them. If you do not determine what your convictions are, people around you will determine your convictions. If you do not determine what is important, other people will determine what is important. There are some people, they have strong convictions on weak things. Sports, football, fashion. But when it comes to what is really important, much of the world has weak conviction. Paul addressed this in Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In another version, it says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold us from the inside. Let God make us from the inside. There's only one way to get convictions like that. We have to pray, and we have to get a hold of God. Like you stated, sometimes you have to turn off all the stuff of the world. You have to turn off the noise of the world. Because there are people out there, they have their political convictions, and they are very strong on their political convictions. But our political convictions will not take us to heaven. But our convictions on the Word of God will take us to heaven. And there are times we have to shut out the world and we have to listen to the Lord. We have to shut off the world and we have to meditate on the Word of God, because this is what molds us from the inside. This is what will make us from the inside. Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but allow God to make you from the inside. As a church, we must preach biblical convictions. But there are people that do not want biblical convictions. There are people that will argue with biblical convictions. There are people, when you read a scripture, they will, I had this happen to me in Jordan. I read a scripture. Somebody looked me straight in the eye and he said, "That is a lie." When I read him the scripture, I just want you to know, I had my preacher voice turned off. So I did not elevate. I did not emphasize. I simply opened up the Bible and I very calmly read a scripture, and it went against what he believed. And he said, "It is a lie." But the Word of God is not a lie. But if we are willing to allow the world to mold us, this was a man that once had biblical convictions, but then he went to a church that did not have biblical convictions, and he allowed a lie to form his mind. He allowed a lie to form him into something that was acceptable to his neighbors, something that was acceptable to the community that was around him. No longer did he allow God to mold him, but he allowed false doctrine because he wanted to be popular. He wanted to be liked. When you look at Luke 2:49, speaking about Jesus, and he said unto them, "How is it that he sought me, wisting not that I must be about my Father's business?" I must. If you look in the scripture 10 times, Jesus said, "I must." Because when he came here, he had a purpose. And he was going to do his purpose. And nobody was going to divert him from the calling and the purpose that he had. I must. He was 3.5 years teaching the disciples. And when it came to the garden, when it came to the army coming to take Jesus, the disciples fled. The disciples ran. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. There was something in his, he was weak. He was weak in his conviction until he received the Holy Ghost. And when he received the Holy Ghost, now he was ready to die for this. I'll tell something. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. If we don't have the Holy Ghost, the world is going to mold us. This is one way we allow God to mold us from the inside, as we receive the Holy Spirit. And then we allow the Holy Spirit to mold us and to make us. And when we have the Spirit of God, we have to keep it alive inside us. This is not at one time pray through and then do whatever you want to do, but we have to be a people of prayer. It is the only way we are going to hang on to the convictions that we need to have. We are living in a world that wants to tear the church apart. We are living in a world where there is great wickedness. We are living in a world that wants to pull us down. And people with conviction and courage are being attacked, and we are being ridiculed for what we believe. Jesus said, "I must." And when the disciples received the Holy Ghost, that's when they had the same drive and the same commitment and the same focus. not only because they received it on the day of Pentecost, but they continued in prayer and fasting. And there's only one way we're going to stay on top of things. We need to be a people that is going to be purpose. We are going to be a people of prayer and fasting. The world will not mold us. When you fast, if anybody has done a lot of fasting, one thing happens. It seems like the Lord just humbles us in a way that can't be done any other way. When we give ourselves to prayer and fasting, we find that the Lord just humbles us. You see, the Lord brings us, we bring ourselves or we're put down so that the Lord can exalt us and the Lord can anoint us and the Lord can give direction to us. That there is no other way that we can receive direction. When you think about people with great conviction, they say there was this one woman who was in politics many years ago, Margaret Thatcher. And she was asked, do you ever think when she first started out in politics, do you ever think that you will see a woman prime minister? And she said, never in my lifetime. But people started supporting her because history tells us she had great convictions. One of the things that Margaret Thatcher said, she said, I am not a consensus politician. I'm a conviction politician. Another thing she said, if you set out to be liked, you will be prepared to compromise on anything at any time, and you will achieve nothing. She had convictions, and because of this, she was backed. She was backed when that arena was just for men. But a woman came into that political arena at that time because she had strong convictions. What happens if the people of God go about with that type of drive and that type of conviction? We read about how the prophets of old, how they were persecuted. They had their convictions. And they were willing to take their convictions to the grave. Are there people today willing to stand? In 2014, there was a woman in Sudan by the name of Maryam Yahya Ibrahim, a Sudanese woman who was sentenced to death because she refused to renounce her Christian faith. When she was born, her father was a Muslim, so that makes her a Muslim, even though her mother was a Christian. And she never went to the mosque, she went to church. But because on her identity papers it stated her father was a Muslim, she has to be a Muslim. And when she would not renounce her Christian faith, when she was pregnant with a child, she was imprisoned. She was whipped 100 times. And the sentence was, after she gave birth, she was going to be hung. But because of persecution from the States, June 26, 2014, she took refuge in the United States. But she was willing to die. In northern Syria today, Christians are being beheaded. And I think about this. These Christians that are being beheaded don't have the Holy Ghost. But yet, they have a conviction. Many Christians have been beheaded. Many churches have been blown up in northern Syria. Also, Christians in Iraq. There even have been children that were given the choice, you renounce Christ or we will behead you. And the children watched their parents. And when their parents were beheaded, the children followed the example of their parents. And they chose to be beheaded because of their conviction. I don't care what you do to me, I will not renounce Christ. When we went to Lebanon in 1992, the first 4 years we were there, I received 2 death threats. I was told that if I did not leave, they were going to shoot me, but we stayed. Another man threatened me who was found with explosives in his house. I was told I had to watch my car for explosives. And I really did not know how to do this. I had to take my daughter to school in the morning. So what I did is I had my wife and daughter on the back side of the house. I went out to the car and I prayed as I turned the key. It did not blow up. I went and got my daughter and drove her to school. Had to do that for about a month and a half until that subsided, that threat subsided. But you see, we cannot back down when the world tells us to shut up and leave. I cannot be quiet. We have a hold of the greatest thing in the world. I gave testimony this morning of the many miracles that we have seen, how we have gone to places, we have laid hands upon people, and people were raised up, people were healed. We have a hold of the greatest thing in the world, and nothing is going to cause me to walk away from this. There were 2 actual attempts upon my life from 92 to 96. The first one, somebody put poison in the coffee that they served me. I drank the coffee. My chest started swelling to the place I could barely breathe. But I thank God for this church, because 6,000 miles away, a man in the church, my home church, Schenectady, New York, God told him that I was poisoned. He got on his knees. He prayed for me, and God healed me 6,000 miles away. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. We do not have to be afraid of the world out there. The second attempt upon my life, somebody took the pins out of the wheels of our steering, and we did not know it. And we took our daughter up to school, and we came down a very windy mountain, and we came to a store. We parked the car. When I came out of the store, the wheels were flapped, one like this, the other like this. Had a flat truck come and tow the car away. We looked at what happened. The pins were removed. There is no way on this earth that I should have come down that mountain. It was a winding mountain, and there were no pins there. We should have gone over the cliff. I don't know what happened. I have my beliefs. I believe that an angel was at the right wheel and another angel was at the left wheel. And when the car was coming down, the angel simply steered those wheels until we stopped. We don't have to be afraid of the world around us. I'm afraid of one thing: losing my conviction, losing my faith. I have a hold of the greatest thing that's in the world today, and nothing is going to take it away from me. Nothing is going to steal what God put in my life. When I came to church in 1972, I came in on crutches. You see, I was in a motorcycle accident. On my motorcycle, a car hit me head on. My left leg crushed between the motorcycle and the car. But that night, as I was lying in bed, God came and God spoke to me. And God showed me a vision. And God showed me that my life was wrong. And I repented of my sins. And God told me to come to church with my best friend, who just started coming to the United Pentecostal Church in Schenectady, New York. 2 days later, Sunday morning, I went on crutches. But when I left that place, I was carrying my crutches. When I left that place, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. When I left that place, God delivered me from drugs and alcohol. I want you to know this is the greatest thing in the world. And this thing is deep down in my soul. And I am not going to allow persecution to shake my faith. Conviction and courage. having conviction and courage to stand in the most difficult of times. We are not molded by the world, but we are molded into the image of God, and our eyes are upon heaven. Hebrews 11:35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Their eyes were on heaven. Do whatever you want to the body. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what you do to the body. It's my soul that I have to keep. It's my soul that I'm going to keep. It's my soul that will not budge. It's my soul that will not knee down to the temptations of the world or persecution. They were looking for a better resurrection. We're in the last days. The devil right now, he's training the army for the Antichrist. You know, in the book of Revelations, it talks about Christians are going to be beheaded. People are going to be beheaded for their faith. That army is being trained right now. I've seen the clips, how they're training children. They're training children how to behead Christians. And what they do is they give a child a dowel, and they have the dowel facing out. They give the kid a knife. He takes the knife. And when he goes like this to take the head off the dowel, somebody is standing here with goat's blood, and they throw it on him. So he has that sensation. When the head comes down, the blood comes out. Then they give them an animal, and then it's a human. In northern Syria, there are children that are playing soccer with the heads of beheaded Christians to desensitize the people. And these people are desensitized. This is the way they're trained. This is the way they're brought up. We're in the last days. And I'm going to heaven. We're in the last days, and nothing is going to shake my faith. We're in the last days, and I'm going to bring as many people to heaven that I can. How many are wanting to go to heaven? How many have conviction and courage to stand? I don't know what type of persecution we're going to have in America, but I believe America is going to have persecution. I believe North America is going to see great persecution someday. We may not be receiving it now, or maybe some places are, but it doesn't matter. Because the more persecution comes, the more determined sincere people are to get closer to God. Let us stand. I'm going to read just one more verse, Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just going to read verse 23. I had other scriptures written, but I'm just going to read 23 in a new version where it says, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. We're going to hold on to our declaration of faith. And if you are here tonight, maybe you're here tonight and you've been going through difficult times, and maybe you find yourself wobbling in your faith, let me encourage you, nothing is worth it. Nothing is worth it. You might be going through an extremely difficult time. Let me urge you and beg you to come to the altar and pray through. You may be here tonight and you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is so hard to keep our convictions without the Holy One on the inside. If you are here tonight and you do not have the Holy Ghost, come right now to the front and let us pray together. If you are here tonight and you find yourself wavering in your convictions, let me encourage you tonight. Nothing is worth your soul. Let us raise our hands right now to worship the Lord. There are souls in this place that need the Holy Ghost tonight. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, you are in the right place at the right time. If you have the Holy Ghost, but you need a renewing in the Holy Ghost, you're in the right place at the right time. If you're going through very difficult times, you're in the right place at the right time. The world wants to pull us apart, but we will not allow it. We have convictions, and we have the courage to stand no matter what. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us worship him right now. And those that need the Holy Ghost, if you know somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, if someone else can come and pray with them right now. We're at a day and we're at a time. We have to be prayed through. We're at a day.